All right, joining me now, one of my favorite people to talk with, it's Don Everts. You can find him, kind of all over the place. He's an author. I am going to recommend that you check out what he's doing at hopefulneighborhood.org. But you can also find him on the Twitters at Don Everts. You can find him at Lutheran Hour Ministries at lhm.org. Don, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Great to be with you, Carmen. I love the intro music. That was great.
Right, right. Paul will work you up a whole neighborhood playlist if you want.
Montage. Paul's, wonderful.
Yeah, he's really good at that. Really good. Okay, first of all, I love this project, not just a book, but a project. And so really want to encourage people to check out hopefulneighborhood.org. Tell us about the Hopeful Neighborhood Project, and then we'll talk about the book.
Yeah, so the project is basically, you know, from our research that we did on how Christians are relating with their neighborhoods. That's kind of this research project we did with Barna. And part of what it revealed is that, boy, this is a great part of the Christian legacy. A keynote of Christians for 2,000 years has been to be salt and light right where we live and to be a blessing to the people in place right around us. And the research reveals maybe we're not doing that as much as we used to. And so the Hopeful Neighborhood Project is about hope. It's about helping people figure out how to make a difference and have agency as Christians right where they live. So it's about the hyperlocal. It's about loving neighbors, just like the song said. And because not only does that make a difference as we pursue the common good of the communities we live in, the neighborhoods we live in, but history tells us and scripture reveals to us that that will actually attract people to the gospel.
So I love, as a part of what you have posted at the neighborhoodproject.org, mm-hmm. you have this neighborhood gift inventory. This is
yes.
maybe one of my favorite parts of the whole thing. So can you tell people what this is? Because this is really cool.
Yeah. You know, the whole idea is if we're going to pursue the common good of our neighborhood, the place to start is not by looking at, well, what are the problems or what annoys me, you know, that sort of thing, or what's worked in other neighborhoods. But it's to start by looking and saying, what gifts are already here in the neighborhood? And we believe that God is the giver of gifts, that every human around us is a gift with gifts to share. And there are gifts in the environment around us, in the associations, the businesses, et cetera. And so we're just encouraging people. We've developed this three-step process, very simple, that anyone can do. But the process begins with curiosity in saying, what are the gifts that God has already put in the neighborhood? Who are my neighbors? What are the gifts that they have? What are the gifts in the environment? What are the parks, the associations, the clubs, the churches, et cetera, that are already there? And what we've found and what people have been finding for centuries is that when you look and say, what has God already put here? Then when you start by looking at those gifts, boy, you've got a head start on pursuing the common good, on making a difference in the neighborhood. So that assessment you're talking about, it's a simple tool that can help people look at their own neighborhood with new eyes. You know, a lot of us are like me, and I'll just confess, Carmen, I for a long time I've been living above place, meaning I'm living my life without any meaningful connection with the neighborhood I live in, the place and people right around me. And the inventory you're talking about is a simple tool. It's like a pair of glasses someone can put on to look around their neighborhood and realize, man, God has blessed this neighborhood, and how can we use those gifts for the good of the neighborhood?
So that gets us to this conversation about the common good. You've used that phrase a couple of times.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Let me remind people that I'm talking with Don Everts. You can check out what we're talking about today at hopefulneighborhood.org. We're also going to be talking about the book, The Hopeful Neighborhood, which maybe is the launch into this conversation, because you do start off talking about the common good. What is the common
yes.
good, and why should I be concerned about pursuing it?
Great question. The common good, in short, is the well-being or flourishing of everything in a place. And the reason that we as Christians in particular should be concerned about pursuing the common good and pursuing the flourishing or well-being of the place and people around us is because God calls us to, right? So three touch points in the Bible really quick. in the garden at the beginning, God created humans and he said, I created you to care for the place where you are. That was part of our creation mandate that didn't go away when we got kicked out of the garden. Think about the Israelites when they were in Babylon, right? They're the visiting team. They're not at home anymore. They just want to escape or survive. And God says, no. He sends a letter through Jeremiah that says, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you. The translation there is that Hebrew word shalom, the flourishing, the well-being of the place. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus calls his people to do the same, be salt and light. Peter's writing a letter to exiles in Asia Minor. And what does he say to them? The same thing Jeremiah said. He says, I know you're the visiting team. I know you're taking it on the chin. I know that doesn't feel good. But what you are called to do is to do good, pursue shalom, the welfare of the people in place right around you. So that's why it should matter. And especially for Christians who believe in the gospel and want other people to be attracted to the gospel, one of the things church history shows us, Carmen, is that when Christians are pursuing the common good, when we are being a blessing in really tangible ways, people notice. The one of the early Christian historians said that the early Christians had eloquent behavior. The way they behaved said something and proclaimed something. And many scholars say that's why the church grew as it did. It grew because Christians were hopefully pursuing the common good of the place around them during pandemics. You know, think of all the harsh situations they faced. They loved, they lifted up the people around them. And that was a way of proclaiming the gospel indeed. And that attracts people to the gospel. So there's a couple reasons why we should, as Christians, care about pursuing the common good. And for 2,000 years, we have. We've maybe lost sight of it a little bit in recent years, but we believe that the time has returned for us to reclaim this part of the Christian faith.
All right, and that gets into the conversation about what season are we in, talking about seasons of the gospel. That's a part of the book as well. Hey, I'm talking with Don Everts. We are talking about the Hopeful Neighborhood Project, which you can find at hopefulneighborhood.org. We're also talking about the Hopeful Neighborhood book, and InterVarsity Press has supplied us with some copies to give away. So if this is right up your alley, you know you've been living above place, you want to engage your neighborhood, you want to be a person who promotes human flourishing through the common good, this is your book. So go ahead and text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Don Everts and I will be right back. All right, I'm talking with Don Everts. We are talking about The Hopeful Neighborhood, the book and the project. You can find it all at hopefulneighborhood.org. I am giving copies of the book away. If you are interested, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Don, let's give people a little taste of this. Let's do a little practical excerpt here. So lead us into, like, how might I do this? How do I get my thoughts? How do I get my thoughts redirected to my own neighborhood? So this is like positive triggering. How do I get my brain to fire off in the right direction?
Yeah, great idea. You know, and where we recommend everyone begins is by discovering the gifts of their neighborhood. And so it's by becoming curious. So curiosity, that's a fun place to start, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you be curious about your neighbors? About what's in your neighborhood. So one of the things that we find is that a lot of people don't know their neighbors. Or they know them a little bit, but not enough to know, boy, this is my neighbor, and here's what they're really good at and the gifts that they bring. And so we have a variety of tools, a kind of an online process that people can do. But on a really practical level, we have ideas for how people can get to know their neighbors, just starting there. Just crossing the lawn, talking to their neighbors more. We have the inventory you talked about, the neighborhood inventory. We know people who have taken the inventory and not just, you know, sat down as a solo exercise, but they've gone to their neighbors and said, hey, I'm wanting to be more curious about our neighborhood. Would you do that with me? Because some of these questions on this inventory, I don't have answers to. You've lived here longer than I have. Could you help me do that? So there we have, like, using a little tool that helps you ask new questions about where you live and kind of see it with new eyes. Because we all become home blind to the things we see every day. We stop noticing the details. But also doing it in a way that is relational and building relationships. And the beautiful thing, Carmen, the Hopeful Neighborhood Project is for Christians and non-Christians, right? It doesn't matter your creed. You can pursue the common good.
And well, that's so we good, because really, my neighborhood is not all Christians.
Exactly.
So it's good, right? It's good that the Neighborhood Project, like, helps me see that, understand that.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things that I just think is critical for us to recognize as Christians, like, I'm not inviting a new Muslim family to have ham at my house on Easter. Like, right? That is not loving my neighbor.
That's right.
Like, that's going to be
that's
the
right.
first clue that I have not been a student of who they are.
That's a great way of putting it. How do we become students of the people who are right around us? And the beautiful thing about that is it helps us build bridges. And so the book you've mentioned is for Christians. We get into the Bible. We get into church history. We get into embarrassing stories from my life. We get into the research to help Christians reorient and reclaim this part of their faith. But everything on the website, the online process for the Hopeful Neighborhood Project is also non-Christian friendly. So a lot of the theological stuff is taken out because we want to see Christians stand shoulder to shoulder with their non-Christian neighbors and make a difference together. There's something extraordinarily bonding about that. It will change, help us reclaim our reputation in this country. It will help us build bridges with non-Christians. You know, and you know, Carmen, I do a lot of evangelism training, right? Mm-hmm. One of the big things that are barriers for churches and Christians to share the good news is they don't have any friends who are non-Christians. Well, this is a win-win, right? We can pursue the common good with our non-Christian neighbors and at the same time build bridges that can help us gain a hearing that if the Holy Spirit moves, actually they're going to become more curious. Why are you so positive? Why are you doing this in your life? And boom, what do you know? That a door is open for us to talk about the hope that is within us.
So, Don, one of the things I'm aware of is that something like 16 million people have moved during the pandemic. I know that is true on my own street. I have new neighbors whom I have not met. I have seen them walking, and we have said, who is that? Where do they live? Like, what's going on? We wave. I'm waving, but it's COVID. Yep. So it's not like I'm stopping and rolling down my window and saying, hey, you know, welcome to the street. So I do think that part of what you're offering us is a way to engage our changing neighborhood. It's offering us ways to look at ourselves and re-engage. We all want to do that. We all have a heart to do that. We just don't know how. And you have really, again, adeptly provided resources for us online and in the book that it's very tangible. It's very concrete. Get out a map. Draw a circle around what you consider to be your neighborhood. Do some research about your neighborhood. Start a journal. Add a neighborhood section to your prayer rhythm. Prayer walk your neighborhood. I mean, on and on and on. Just such great, just like simple, really simple, but very tangible. Like, I can do this. I can do this. It's not as scary as, you know, okay, Carmen, you have to stand at the end of your driveway and proclaim Jesus, you know, because that's the way we do evangelism. No. We love our neighbors. Like, let's love them. And they will grow curious as to what we're doing and why we're doing it the way we're doing it. And they will ask questions and we will invite them into our homes and we will break bread together and we will have fellowship and they will see that Christians aren't totally creepy and we will get to know one another. And in those relationships, right, the gospel will be evident because that's who we are. It's who we are.
And what you've just described, Carmen, so well is hopeful. Right? Because we can do something. And yes, our culture has changed. And yes, maybe we're the visiting team now as Christians. Okay. What can we do about that? What can we do that's hopeful in the midst of our situation? And everything you just described, that's why we called it the Hopeful Neighborhood Project, because it is about hope. And we are people of hope. You know, the Israelites in Babylon in exile, they could have just said, man, it's terrible that now we live in Babylon in this terrible place. And And they could have circled their wagons. They could have curled in on themselves, as Luther put it. But they didn't, because God said, no, I want you to seek the welfare of the city right where you are. Same thing with the early Christians in Asia Minor. You know, pandemics come through, and they could have just curled in and hid away from everyone, but they didn't. They found ways to love people in tangible ways. And like you said, Carmen, it starts with small things, and it's amazing right now, because a lot of us are spending more time in our neighborhoods than we previously have, right?
Mm-hmm,
we're not commuting
absolutely.
As much as we are. We're many of us are working from home. You know, I'm officing from home right now. I've spent more time in my neighborhood in the last 7 months than maybe the last 7 years. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but we're spending more time in our neighborhoods. What an opportunity for us to not just survive this time or get through it and miss our Christian friends, but to say, I'm going to make some new friends who are different than me, and we're going to make a positive difference together. And who knows what doors that could open for the gospel.
Amen. All right, that's Don Everts. We want you to check out hopefulneighborhood.org. We also want you to check out the book that's related to it, The Hopeful Neighborhood. If you're interested in receiving a copy, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Don, I love what you're doing. I love the way that you're doing it. Thank you, as always, so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Carmen, and thank you, Paul, for the inspiring music.
There you go. Amen. We'll be right back.